Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, June 26th. We're back with you. Tori, of course, has moved on, and we're waiting to hear news from her as far as to exactly what it is she's going to be doing. But everybody already misses her. Those are going to be big shoes to fill. But I have one person who's going to attempt that. I'm joined by by the beautiful Astra. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. You're South African.
I am.
That's
yes,
what you told me. I love South Africans.
Do you?
Yes, I lived there for a year, and I've learned to really like their hospitality. South Africa is very nice, right?
South Africa is so beautiful. It's crazy.
Right.
It's really gorgeous.
And the people, too.
Yeah, everyone's really friendly. And you know, right. There's parts of South Africa that really remind me of LA. Yeah. Mm. Like, you know, Palace Verdes around there, that area.
Right, I know, right? It's beautiful stuff.
So beautiful.
A lot of trees and growth and
beaches and beauty and mountains and.
Right, you got everything, right? I mean, you got mountains and beaches, like you said, and just about everything, you know. And I remember going hiking there, and I enjoyed it a great deal. Trips there. Cape Town, I mean, what I do remember is. We pulled over by the road because we saw a couple of baboons on the side of the road, right? So we pull up to a baboon. Clearing, and we get like a whole pack of them climbing our car.
Yeah.
So we closed the windows, and we just enjoyed it. It was amazing to see them right on the windshield.
They're amazing.
How close do you get to baboons in your life?
Yeah, exactly. Like baboons are really, there's monkeys and baboons, and that's the one thing, I suppose, that differs, you know, to LA is that
we don't have
wild,
that here.
Yeah, it's the wildlife.
The wildlife, God, exactly.
There's amazing wildlife, you know, giraffes, and you just feel, there's something about Africa itself that's really, really special, I think.
Right, know? Absolutely. And some people don't realize, though, that South Africa is not really the southern part of Africa, but it is a country, Africa.
Yeah. It's a country.
So some people don't know that. And when you say South Africa, they mean, you mean like Zimbabwe and all these other countries. I'm like, no, it's just South. Yeah. That's southern Africa, you know.
I know.
So it's kind of confusing, but definitely one of the most beautiful places I've been to. And I lived there for about a year. I even worked there, you know. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So I was in Johannesburg.
Yeah.
And
not the most beautiful part.
for me, it was beautiful. Okay. Yeah. I mean, when you go to have coffee and cake in the garden.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful weather outside. You sit outside. You talk. Many people there are very rich, the white people.
Yeah, in Johannesburg especially. Yeah.
Right.
Where
so
all the money
many
is.
Of them don't work, you know.
Yeah,
they
that's
just,
true.
They hang out all day,
yeah,
you
totally.
Know.
And eat the glorious food. What did you think of the food in South Africa?
Some of it was good. It's got a variety. I mean, there's a lot of diversity in South Africa, obviously. A lot of people from different places in the world.
Yeah, that's true.
So quite honestly, I don't remember the food. I mean, it's,
you don't remember the food?
This was like 20 years ago. I don't know. I remember some things. I mean, I remember some things, but are there like national dishes that you're talking about?
Well, the thing is, it's because there's so many cultures in South Africa. You know, you get the African cultures, and there's so many, and then you get the Afrikaans people. But it's just people eat a lot of meat. You know,
yes,
it's a big meat eating kind of country, and also seafood. The seafood there is amazing.
Wow!
But you know, like here, it's barbecues. In South Africa, we call it braai.
Right,
that's
exactly.
What it's called, a braai. But oh my god, I miss a braai so bad. I can't tell you. Just
you can make one here. I mean, you know,
it's
not like you have to be in a certain place to do it.
Yeah, no, that's true. You can barbecue, and they do have. Some wonderful barbecue, you know, here, I must say.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot of things. Yeah, and I remember we went to, I think it was carnivore restaurant, and it was all meat, you know?
Yeah.
Like those Brazilian restaurants we have here, you know, they bring those big big pieces of meat and plant it on your table and they cut it for you and everything, you know.
So good.
And big skewers and shit.
I know. I have a lot of vegan and vegetarian friends.
Oh, God.
And I tried that
they must love you.
When I went traveling around Asia a long time ago, I didn't really eat meat then because, you know, you've got to be wary of where you're eating meat.
That's true, right?
But I was like vegetarian for maybe, I'd say about a year, but when I got back to England, I was working in a restaurant at the time, and there was a piece of bacon and a pork sausage on the side. I just shoved that bacon and pork sausage in my mouth, and I thought, you know what?
How can you know,
I am not a vegetarian any longer.
Right.
I couldn't.
Wow.
I was like, wow, this stuff is too good.
I know, especially pork, man. It smells good. It tastes good. No doubt about it.
Oh, my God.
And I was born with almost a fear of pork because I was Jewish and everything.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, or I am still Jewish, but meaning when I was a kid, you know, back in Israel, nobody eats this stuff. And when people do, it's sort of like they don't make it public or anything. You know?
Yeah, sure, it's all secret.
Yeah, you know, which is such bullshit, you know.
Yeah,
but
totally.
So then you come here and you realize, wow, bacon? Fuck, let me have some.
Oh,
you know?
My God. And who doesn't like pulled pork?
Yeah, right.
I really just think that pulled pork is the most delicious thing I've ever had in my life, apart from lamb chops, but, you know.
Lamb chops are amazing, too. I agree.
Yeah, totally.
Right? But not everybody likes lamb. You have to develop
acquire a
taste for it. Some people.
I love lamb. It's not that easy to find lamb chops. I mean, there are great restaurants that serve lamb, which I've had. But just in general, lamb is not really prevalent here. And I was like, God, because in England, there's so much lamb.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And
so,
yeah.
You don't know, like here, for example, they don't eat, or we don't eat like chicken liver.
But in
South Africa, in Israel, it's very popular,
it's very common,
right?
Yeah.
With onions livers, and stuff, it's amazing.
Any kind of like offal or chicken livers or liver or kidneys or anything, you know, they eat every part of the animal.
Right, right.
We're here, no, that's
not. No, it's just only four pieces from the chicken, 8 pieces, and that's it.
You know? And I actually kind of get it because I'm not a massive fan of kidneys or liver. Like, it's just the texture that I can't stand. It's not that I don't want to eat it. It's just, no, I've tried to eat it many times.
Right.
But I just, the texture is just too much for me.
Yeah. I know, texture is like that. Haven't been raised like that. We learned also not to eat shellfish or things like that. And that includes octopus.
Oh, really?
So when people eat calamari, it looks so good.
Oh, it's so good.
But I can't bring myself to eat, an octopus. So it's kind of gross. But and the small ones, you know, I mean, they're like flowers.
Totally. It's like the little tentacles.
The tentacles, you fry them, it looks like flowers or something. But kind of scary to me, I don't know. But then I tried one once.
Yeah. And
the texture, it was grilled, actually.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I was so grossed out.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I felt it's like dry chicken or something, but I didn't like the texture at all.
It's interesting, though, because in South Africa, wherever you go, they always serve either grilled or deep-fried calamari. So
they have deep-fried here, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm amazed you didn't have that in South Africa because it's really good.
Yeah,
deep-fried always tastes better, I must say.
Right, exactly. I mean, that grease does something to the food.
Grease is good. Don't care what anyone says. We like grease. We like fat.
There you go. You know, that's where the flavor is. That's funny. So, thank you for joining me. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm really delighted to be here. I'm a little out of sorts, though, today, because generally at this time I'm in a boxing gym near where I live, training, you know.
Yeah.
And this morning, because I was going to go really early in the morning, like at 6:30 when they're open, and do the boxing class. But then I thought, no, I'm going to be all sweaty and I need to be here on time. So I thought I'll leave it for another time.
But it's freaking hot outside.
Oh my God, it's so hot. And in this boxing gym?
Yes.
Oh dear Lord, it's so hot. It's
really?
It's crazy.
There's no air conditioning or what?
Oh no.
Really?
This is like an old school boxing gym.
Are you serious?
It's called Fortune Gym. It's on Sunset and Curzon.
Okay.
And the owner, Justin Fortune, a really amazing guy, he used to be a pro fighter.
Oh.
And he's now the strength and conditioning coach for Manny Pacquiao. So he and his team and Freddie Roach, who trains him, were in the Philippines and they're now in Australia training him. But that gym, it's like old school. There's, you know, it's such a great community of people.
Right.
But there are no windows in that gym.
Yeah, right.
Let alone, you know. Wow. I'm wearing leggings on the smallest top, but I swear you just want to walk around there naked. It's so hot. You know, you're sweating profusely. You're like, oh my God, this is, but it's such a great, great place and a really great place to kind of, you know, release some tension or, you know, energy that you need.
Yeah. So you're into boxing then?
Yeah. Boxing.
Is it like kickboxing or?
Well, I do boxing and I do Muay Thai, which is Thai kickboxing.
Okay.
I haven't done Muay Thai for that long, but I've done I've done boxing for like the last year at Fortune Gym. My trainer is this amazing guy, Jose Navarro. He was a former Olympian, and
It's cool to train with those people.
Yeah, it's really cool because it's not like you just go into some kind of boxercise class. He really, really trains you. This Jose, who's just amazing, he really trains you. You know, the technique, because right. I want to, whatever I do, I want to learn properly.
Yes,
you know, that's just how I am about everything.
Yeah.
So and it's just so you're going there and you are you're exercising,
right.
But you're also learning something, which is great.
Yeah, it really is. You know, so you learn actually how to use your muscles and your body and things like that.
It's wonderful.
See, that's cool. You know, and it's a great way to work out. Obviously,
it's a great way to work out. I mean, it's literally changed my life
because really?
I'd been really inactive for quite for quite a while, and I wanted to. I don't know. I'm not enamored with gyms in general. Mm. I mean, you know, a gym is great.
Yeah.
Now, because once you've stopped exercising for so long, you know, it just becomes a habit. You can't even imagine getting back into
That's
it.
That's true. Right?
And as soon as you start exercising again, then all of a sudden, okay, now you can go to the gym.
Right. Exactly. And you can't imagine stopping because it feels so good. At least afterwards, even if you hate the gym.
Yeah, like a Sunday, because they're closed on a Sunday, the boxing gym, and I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
So you go every day?
6 days a week. I try to go 6 days a week.
Wow.
But, you know,
that's dedication, you see. That's good. That's another thing you're learning.
Yeah, but you feel so good. You know, it just feels so great. It's such a great way to work out. And again, the people are so cool, you know. It's a little community. It's a really, you know, a great...
nice.
And there's a lot of fighters there that are training, which is... It's what I love is to watch the young fighters training because you see dedication and discipline. I mean, they're disciplining themselves, these young boys that are coming from all over the world and to train with Justin because he's such an amazing trainer.
Mm-hmm.
But you see them, the stuff they do and the hours they train, they're like three times a day sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Because they have a goal.
Wow.
They have a vision.
Yeah.
And they are working towards it. And I find that really, really exciting. And it actually teaches me something because you think that you're working hard and you're like, no, you're not.
Yeah, right.
Look at them. They are, it's really, their dedication is amazing.
Yeah.
Really amazing.
Very cool. So you found a great group of people to hang out with, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of it will rub off on you for sure, you know.
Yes, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, you got to hang out with the right people.
Sure.
That's what some people don't understand, you know. You hang out with people that are poisonous to you sometimes.
Exactly.
You know? But you found a good group, and that's cool. So from South Africa, did you come directly here, or how did it work for you?
No, I went to South Africa. I went to London.
Oh, okay.
And,
what year was that?
It was a long time ago.
Okay, well, we're not asking you how old you are.
Yes,
but
thank you.
Okay, no, it's
that.
Okay.
So but I went there. So I lived in England for a long time in London.
Okay.
And did various things. You know, I worked in restaurants for years. And then I studied theater acting. And then I decided to come to LA and venture into film.
Wow. How long did you say you live in England for?
Many years.
In England?
Yeah.
In
London,
okay.
England. And then,
right.
So then I came to LA.
Okay.
And I wanted...
So you came here for acting and stuff?
Yeah, I wanted to do film.
Right.
And, but then, you know, LA is so, it's so interesting, right? Because you have all these hopes, you have all these dreams, and you think, oh, you know, I'm talented, I'm hardworking, it's going to work out for me. You know, there's no ways that it cannot work out for you.
That's a good attitude, though,
right? And it is a great attitude, and it's an attitude I will always have.
Right.
But I will say that LA was a bit of a shock to me. You know, it was a shock to the system.
Yes.
Because I didn't realize that you think you're going from one English-speaking country to another English-speaking country. And I'd been to New York, love New York. And so I just thought that, living in LA would be really easy. But it's just, it's been challenging, I'd say.
Yeah.
It's been challenging. I love LA, and I think it's a great place. It's just, it's a wonderful place. But it has been challenging, to say the least.
In what way? Do you feel there's a lot of people here with the same dream as you, pursuing very few jobs?
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's just it's a lot of competition.
Right.
It's a lot of competition, and you start to realize that it's not necessarily, yes, I'm, talent and hard work, I think, is great for longevity.
Right.
But it really is about, there's just a lot more to it than talent and hard work.
What do you think it is?
Well, I think it's definitely about the right connections.
Right.
About the right, meeting the right people at the right time.
Absolutely.
So I think it's a lot about that.
Right. Because people sometimes don't understand, what do you mean I have to know people? But what happens when you know a person is you're getting around the process of the selection, and you're going through the back door.
Yeah,
exactly.
It.
And you tell, and then they just look at you and they go, "Oh wow!" It's almost like looking at dating sites, dating apps, or meeting someone in person, being introduced to someone. It's different,
It's totally
not
different.
Like the same laundry list that you have, suddenly a lot of things don't matter and you see the person as they are.
Yeah, exactly. And and the thing is, I just think with there being so much competition, I think in any kind of industry, people will give someone a job who they like.
Right.
Or they connect with. Especially if you've got such a great pool of talent. I mean, there's just, when I was going to acting classes, 99.9% of the people in my acting class were super talented.
Really?
And they weren't all working. There were, there were a great deal of them that were working.
Right.
But a lot of them weren't working.
Right.
I was thinking, okay, look at these people. They're amazing. But it's just a hustle. It's a constant hustle, which is why now I'm writing my own stuff and trying to, just finding the funding to make my own stuff.
Exactly. And that's what people are starting to do because you do have the technology now that enables you to do things on your own.
It's crazy.
Find a couple people that are also looking for similar dreams, work together. There's no pay for you in the beginning, but you build something that's yours.
Yeah.
And you invest in that, because look, it's a question of, sometimes they don't understand, but the thing is, it's very simple. It's a question of supply and demand.
Yes.
There's a huge supply of actors. There's a demand for only very few great parts.
Yeah.
The rest are minor things, but it doesn't mean you can't get started that way. At least you get some experience. You get some things on your resume.
Yeah.
Things like that, but it is a long process. And there's no guarantees.
But the thing is also, what I think about what's great about making your own stuff is that you have control over the situation. You're not waiting for someone to give you a job.
Right.
And that's another thing. Most actors, people are always complaining about that actors are always playing the same parts.
Right.
But really, it's because they don't get to play, even the great actors, they don't always get to play the parts they want to play unless you are Christian Bale or, Sean Penn.
Right. The major ones that get to choose their roles.
They get to choose their roles. But a lot of them, if you look at, a lot of them that are doing what they want to do, they've got their own production companies.
Right.
They're not relying on someone else. They're finding their own stories. They can find the funding to make those films. But otherwise, even as I said, some of my really talented actor friends that are working on TV and on film, they get the roles that they're playing is not a reflection of how talented and awesome they are.
I see.
Because they just don't get that opportunity. So I think when you are making your own stuff, you get to play the parts you want to play.
Definitely.
You get to challenge yourself, which is great. But then you have the other thing, which is hard, is the finances and the money, and you need people to back you. But as you said, in regards to these days, you can shoot things on whatever. And I used to be a real snob about that because I love cinematography and I love looking at shots and I'm such a perfectionist, but I realize that gets in the way.
Just
if you've got an idea, just put it, just do it.
Right, exactly. Don't think a million times what's going to happen, how can I do this. Take the first step. That's the most important thing, I think.
Yeah, I think it's about momentum, and this is what I realize. It's about momentum that if you think you can do something and you do it, it doesn't,
right.
What I've noticed is that sometimes it doesn't even matter whether the content is good or not.
Yeah.
It's just about doing it, and then the next thing comes, and then you do something else. And eventually you've got a body of work that in the beginning might have been terrible, but you, as you're going, you're learning every single time.
Right.
You know, and I think the real thing is about just not giving up, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree, you know, and I think once you take that move, you make that move, you take the first step, it's commitment, you know? It's sort of like, okay, so I chose the direction now, let's go all the way. And that's the way it has to be, you know. I mean, I've had my challenges, but I always choose to look forward and and think outside the box. And if you can't think of anything, find someone who will help you think about things.
Yeah, you need encouragement, you know? Though, sometimes, because I must say, you know, like I'm preaching to myself here, because sometimes you just feel so... you know, you don't want to give up because you have a dream, you have a vision, you have a goal, and you know it can, you know that you can produce something wonderful.
Right.
But sometimes you're just like, oh my God, you want to give up.
Right.
Because real life, you know, gets in the way. You know?
Right, right.
But I think it was Winston Churchill said, never give up, never ever give up,
right.
Or how the quote goes. And you just, it's like, what else, what are your options, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have another option because it's inside of you and you can't quench that fire. Or you can't quench the passion inside of you. You might try to,
right.
But it's going to come out in some way, shape or form, you know?
That's true. And what you have to do is learn how to stand out, I think, in the crowd and offer something unique to you, you know? And I think, and I agree, like you said, if you put your own face out there and your own talent out there, then you're creating what you want. And then that success will bring you other projects that might be bigger and stuff. But, you know, we've had people on the show that started their own video series.
Wow.
Now they're on Amazon. And
amazing.
Yeah, you know.
Because, and I think it's really about self-belief. I mean, self-belief is hard, but I was listening to something that you said the other day. I don't know if this was a recent show.
Uh-huh.
I think maybe it was Friday when you were talking about how, you know, when you started the radio show, how people, about your accent, because it makes me laugh, you know, about American accents, because as an actor, you have to learn an American accent.
But, right.
And when I started doing this web series that I'm working on, I thought, should I be an American? Because my American accent is good, but... You're not unique. And when I heard you say that, it reminded me again about, you just decided, fuck this.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to be myself.
Right.
You know, and people either like it or they don't. and here you are, you know, with a...
No, that's true, because the only person it bothers is me, you know. If it bothers somebody else, then the hell with it, you know.
Yeah, certainly.
So like, you're right. So it shouldn't matter to me either. And look, I realized after being here for 40 years, I'm celebrating 41 years.
Wow.
Next month here.
That's amazing.
And the funny thing is I arrived on 4th of July 1976.
Wow.
That was the bicentennial year, and it was also the 4th of July.
Wow.
Bicentennial means America became 200 years old.
Wow.
Since, you know, 1776 to 1976.
Wow.
And so you can imagine how patriotic the country was at that time when
I
came.
Sure, I can imagine.
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. That's 41 years ago. And all I can say is if I haven't lost my accent by now, I never will.
You know? Yeah, it's amazing, though, how some people lose their accent really quickly.
Right.
And other people don't. Like, you've been here for 40 years. And I think it's pretty cool that you still have your accent.
Yeah.
I mean, cause that,
but it's obviously, I got to tell you, though, that... That many people don't really realize it's a foreign accent. They think maybe I'm from New York or something, you know.
Oh, wow.
And things like that. Yeah, but at the same time, so everybody hears it differently. Like, my kids are used to me. Everybody that's around me is already used to me, so they don't hear an accent.
Of course.
Also, many Israelis have much heavier accent, and their English sucks. Okay, like with me, between speaking and writing, my English is like perfect. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I put a comma, everything a comma needs to be.
An apostrophe.
Quotation marks, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Always where it has to be.
Yeah.
Even in my texts, it's crazy.
I know, it's important though. I'm with you. Maybe it's because I spent a lot of time in England and South Africa. But, I'm all about grammar.
Right. Yeah. So that's what I mean, you know. But you never shake off that thing where people ask you, so where are you from?
So where are you from?
Right. Yeah. Immediately the first question, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but who cares? You know, I mean, when I hear your accent and the first thing I want to know is where are you from, I'm really interested.
Sure, yeah.
You know, it doesn't make you like an outsider. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. And I know in most countries, people like foreign accents, you know.
Yeah, totally. And they really do. And it is funny how everyone hears your accent differently. So people say to me, oh, you're from England. A lot of people think I'm from England.
Right.
And maybe it's because my South African accent has probably...
It has tapered off, maybe?
Yes, tapered off because I lived in England for so long.
Right.
But when I'm in England, they know for a fact I'm not English.
So it's sort of like mixed at this point.
Yeah, it's mixed. But a lot of people will say to me, you're Australian.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Because
in America, all those three countries sound the same.
Totally.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and actually in England, it was the same thing. People always used to say to me, are you Australian? And I remember working in this restaurant once, and I said to this guy, no, I'm not. I'm South African. And he went, no, that's an Australian accent. And I'm like, no, I'm from South Africa. I know because I was born there. But he was
an asshole.
He was such an asshole. He was telling me, you know, basically where I'm from. I'm like, who are you? Who do you think you are? But anyway, that's another story.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is interesting stuff, you know. I mean, I've got so much to tell, so much to talk about. I am going to take a break. Mm-hmm. The first one in probably a couple of years, the rest of this week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Wednesday through Friday, I'm going to Lake Tahoe
with
a couple of friends. And yeah, I anticipate it to be beautiful. I mean, if you just look up Lake Tahoe, the pictures are breathtaking.
Yeah, the pictures are amazing.
You know, green and blue and, you know, it's just amazing. The water is so clear because it's a lake.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. The weather is going to be kind of crazy because during the day you get to be in the 80s.
Yeah.
So you imagine you can be in shorts. You probably go swimming, hiking, whatever. And then at night it goes down to 40.
Wow.
So yeah, so 40 is freezing.
It's freezing.
Right. So not only do you take off your shorts, but I mean, you have to take some warm clothes.
Yeah, sure.
So that's weird. I've never been to a place like that before. I mean, that's like desert weather, but it's not desert there, really.
Yeah, totally. And are you going with your family?
No, with a couple of friends. They live up north. Yes, absolutely. I mean, I miss them. They're like brothers to me. They're twins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we're going to have an amazing time, and I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's more about just being with friends than it doesn't really matter where you are.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
You can be like in a little shitty hut on the side of the road and still have a fantastic time if you've got good company.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there better be some alcohol involved. No, I'm kidding.
But there will be a lot. There will be weed.
Oh,
I can guarantee you that.
That's always a positive point.
Right. I already did my research, but fuck, it costs double what it costs here. I mean, what the fuck, man?
Where? In Lake Tahoe?
In Lake Tahoe.
Doesn't surprise me. They see tourists.
Yeah, supply and demand. There you go. That's how economy works. And when people don't understand that in capitalism, then go and hit the books, folks, because that's how capitalism works. It's supply and demand, and that sets the prices, you know?
Sure.
So there you go.
So you're going for the rest of the week?
Yes, but I'm going to be back before 4th of July because after Friday, the prices jump like 5 times.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Can you believe it?
Yeah, that's so crazy.
5 times. Yeah. So,
and are you staying in a hotel or you just rented a house?
We're staying in a hotel. They got a room at the Harrah's, which is a nice luxury hotel, I imagine.
God, I love hotels.
But there's a casino too. I'm not a casino person, but I think they're going to be spending some time at the poker table for what I'm hearing. So I'll be somewhere else. I'm going to be hiking or something.
They're going to be spending all their children's college funds or something, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to tell them, fuck gambling. We're here to be together, you know?
Exactly.
Gambling, you're not together.
Yeah, let's go on a communal hike.
Exactly.
You know, let's row somewhere.
Campfire at night, swim. You take a drive around the lake. Which is amazing, 26 miles or something. Amazing stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
And you have stops along the way, you know, so camping grounds, beaches.
Oh, great.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you've got everything. And in the winter, it's also beautiful. It's a skiing resort there.
Right.
And
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That does amaze me, though, I will say, in LA about the fact that you can drive for like an hour and be in a completely different climate.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Skiing. That's so great.
Right. Right.
You know,
there is skiing away from here for an hour, but Lake Tahoe is shit. It's an hour and 45 minutes flying.
Flying, yeah.
Flying.
No,
yeah, that's far. So, but at any rate, I hate flying, and this time I'm not going to have an edible before I fly. Last time I did, I freaked fucking out on a plane.
Did you? What happened?
I did.
My God.
I was just afraid to be on a plane. I'm like, how can these people feel so safe on the plane when I'm so certain we're in a fucking crash?
But the thing is, I mean, this makes me laugh.
No, it is funny.
Because an edible is so much more... I like edibles because they're stronger.
Right.
But sometimes...
But I got used to them. I mean, I've been eating some edibles, but I mean, I do have high dosage, but high tolerance too.
Sure.
But I'd never had one being on a plane after I'd started being kind of apprehensive of flying.
Yeah.
You know, I used to love flying.
Really?
But yeah. But
what happened? What changed your mind?
There I go telling the story for the millionth time, but I'll tell it really quick.
Okay.
I took flying lessons. I was living in Vegas at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I went flying solo. And I started doing practicing stalls, which is what they teach you. You know, to stall the plane, you kind of pull back, and the plane kind of like loses its thrust.
Yes.
And you know, you have to know how to get out of it and stuff.
Okay.
So I started practicing that, and before you know it, I went into a spin.
Oh, no.
Now, the plane is spinning vertically toward the earth.
Oh, dear God.
And I'm at like about 12,000 feet or so, which is lucky for me because it was high enough that and lucky enough that he had put me into a spin before the instructor had before.
Mm-hmm.
So I, first of all, you know, the steering wheel doesn't work.
Just it locks.
No, it doesn't do anything because the plane is vertical now.
Oh my God!
Those are the ailerons on the wings. They don't work because the wings are not even. There's no lift.
No.
So, and the earth is spinning, and I'm like just thinking, no, I'm not ready to die yet, you know.
Shit.
And then I kind of remembered to press the left pedal, and that pulled me out of it. You know, crazy G forces on my head.
But it was
disoriented.
But
I straightened the plane up.
But were you in the plane on your own?
On my own. It was my solo flight.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he
so
had taught
terrifying.
Me how to see this on a lesson before when
Thank
we were
God.
Together. Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
God,
I
that's
mean, you stall the plane too much, and that's what happens. You go into a spin. On those Cessnas.
Shit. So what after that?
So after that, I mean, I was fine. I got back. Mm-hmm. I don't think I told anybody either.
I didn't tell them. You were just so shocked that you actually got out of it alive.
Alive, for crying out loud. But I don't know if that was it, you know. I mean, that sounds pretty traumatic.
Sounds
but I don't
really
think that's
traumatic.
Right?
In fact, I think you need to go to therapy.
Right?
I think it's probably
I've told it a million times, but I it's like, to me, it's not a big deal, you know. But I don't know, on big airplanes.
It's a big deal because
I think
you can't
I've
get
just
onto
become,
a...
Yeah, no, I've just become claustrophobic on airliners, I think. That's what it is.
Yeah. And I'm going to suggest that you don't take an edible this time, you know.
Thank you for that. So you're connecting with me.
Maybe take, I don't know, a sleeping tablet perhaps.
Yeah, you know, right. That's a good idea. No, I'll be fine. Without an edible, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
It just made, it freaked me out, which... It never had, but I guess if you put it with an anxiety together, it'll just amplify it.
Sure, I can imagine. I'm surprised you didn't like start screaming, "Get me off this
I know,
thing!
I know.
It's going to crash!" You know, I've heard stories like that before where people just lost their shit on the plane. You know?
I know, but you want to hear this? I mean, the headline is a pilot Urges prayers as technical issue forces turnaround. In other words, this Air Asia plane hit, there was like a big shutter, a bang, a loud bang and a shutter, and then there was just like a lot of shaking and stuff. The pilot realized it's a technical issue and turned around, but for an hour and 15 minutes, about 2 hours, they had to weather this shaking and shit. Can you imagine?
No, I cannot imagine. I've been in turbulence before, which was, I think I was flying back from Dallas.
Yeah.
And the plane was shaking. And I just thought, you know, I used to hate flying. And now I've kind of gotten over the fact that I think, you know what, if I'm going to die, well, hey.
Right.
This is, then I'm just going to die.
Right. But this is a slow death.
But turbulence?
Yeah.
When it's shaking, I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, do we have to go through this? You know, right. So I can... People must be freaking out.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to go, can we just go quick?
Right. But sometimes it doesn't happen. Imagine the plane explodes, or there's a hole in it. You get sucked out. You're flying at fucking 30,000 feet, you know? How quickly do you fucking die? And do you last till you fall in the ocean? I mean, fuck, that's the worst death.
Totally.
Because you get to think about it.
And then you get to get eaten by sharks.
Right.
Like, who the but fuck you're wants dead to already. Then, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I did think it was, what makes me laugh, you know, when you get on a plane and they encourage you to look at that pamphlet in the front, you know, that pamphlet.
I know.
And it makes me laugh so much because there's diagrams of this slide that if you land in the water, this slide is going to come out, and these are the exits. Know where your exits are. Go to the exit and slide down.
Yeah, right.
Down the slide into the ocean, where a boat will be there to
pick you
up.
You have an inflatable.
Oh, really?
Wrist.
When did that ever happen?
Yeah, right.
When did the plane land so beautifully onto the ocean that we could all slide like as if we were in freaking Disney?
Great observation,
No, all the way out. No, that doesn't happen. That plane's going down, you're fucked.
Right, exactly. You know? It's not in one piece when it hits the ground. That's for sure.
Makes me laugh, totally.
Yeah. I know, even in like movies, when you think about it, the plane sort of like survives, you know, even on land.
Yeah, what was that film with Denzel Washington? It had the most...
Yeah, Hero or something.
What's it called again?
It was Hero...
It had the most incredible plane crash scene.
Right, right.
It was so real. Like, I literally, when I was at the cinema watching it, I literally almost got underneath the chair. I was so horrified by what was going on.
Okay, so that's a recent one with Denzel. Okay,
yeah,
I know
like
exactly which
ago,
one you
like
talk
a couple
about.
Of years ago. You know.
Right, I'm thinking about the one, I think it was Dustin Hoffman or Michael Keaton. I don't know why I'm thinking those. Maybe it was someone else. But he saved someone from a plane crash, and then he became this big hero, and everybody celebrated him and all this stuff. And and then the reality was different and all that. So
it
was sort of interesting. There was somebody else actually that was the one that saved the person and all that. So and I'm pretty sure it was called Hero. So might want to look it up. But the one with Denzel, God, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Is it Flight something or other? Flight something something with Denzel? I think he got nominated for an Academy Award for that.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, at the age of Google and stuff, we can't... we can't be like on...
I'm terrible, though. I just, you know, we Google everything so quickly that now when I'm having a conversation with a friend, I'm like, no, we're not going to go into Google. Let's try and remember what it is. And then we're sitting there for 10 minutes.
What did you say it was called?
Is it Flight something?
Flight it is.
Is it called Flight?
Flight.
I thought it was Flight something.
No,
something.
It's Flight.
Yeah.
And,
no, that was a
and
great
there is
movie.
A YouTube crash scene. Oh wow.
God, that YouTube I would suggest you do not watch that YouTube crash scene before you get on the plane.
Okay, then I'm not doing that. Don't. In fact, you know what? Maybe that's why is that where he turns the plane upside down and all that? Okay, I can see that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I remember that. I've never seen the movie, but
he's a pilot, but he's got drug and alcohol issues.
Oh wow!
So there's this whole big investigation, and it's really intense. And he actually is amazing in it.
Yeah. In fact, I think the only reason I didn't see it because it sounds like a great movie and it got great reviews.
Yeah, it was really good.
Is because of the plane crashing. Maybe I didn't want to see it.
Yeah, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
Done before I
That's
fly.
Like, no, don't do it. Just I would suggest just take a Yeah. I was just about to say take a laxative. No, that's not what you want to do. You don't want to take a laxative. You want to take a sleeping tablet. That's right.
Now, do you think they'd ever let a movie like this sneak into the plane as far as what they're showing the people? Would that be like, I mean, you know, the person that's sitting there with, let's assume, never saw the movie before. Oh, Flight. Sounds good. Denzel won awards. Let's put it up, you know.
I'm just going to assume, I might be absolutely wrong here, but I'm going to assume that would not be the smartest move. You know, someone who's doing the programming should steer clear of those films. Yes. Because you don't want to excite the passengers. You hardly need that, right? You're going to have like some...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, some...
I know, it's like, yeah.
Pretty scary stuff. No, but I do... It is crazy, though, on a plane... how you watch movies on this tiny little screen,
right?
But you watch it and you enjoy it, but it's like the smallest screen ever.
That's true. And you know what? It's kind of funny to admit this, but I started flying before there were movies on the plane.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm talking.
What did you do on the plane
70s? Okay. Well, read and whatever, but
of course, yeah.
Or brought your own music. I think there was,
that's right,
like transistor radios, whatever the fuck we had then. No, like like portable tape cassette players.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you'd bring earphones or something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they started putting music in the plane.
Sure.
So you started getting like the headphones, the headsets. They charge you fucking $10, $20 for a headset.
They charge you can listen to music, right? On the plane, right? Right now,
yeah, and but that was back then already. Yeah. They were doing this because flying was really expensive way back then.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
There wasn't a lot of competition, then they added that, and then they started adding films on the big screen on the plane and then put them in the seats and stuff. But all this time, I've never watched movies on the plane. You know, I always would prefer to read.
To read, yeah. Books right. are great, though. And they're so amazing.
Yeah, I don't know why I had this this anti, like, watching a film. Because, you know what it is? I know. I can't sit two and a half hours and watch a film without stopping it or whatever, you know?
Yeah,
so it's better to watch one on your iPad or something now that you're on a plane.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
That makes a lot more sense.
This makes sense at all,
right?
Yeah, no, I
know it doesn't, right? No, I mean, I'm crazy, but what can I say? Look, but that's what happens when you go through generations. You know, you see times change. I mean, fuck, you know, when I was a kid, phones were like rotary, you know? I mean, you put your phone, your finger in there and turn the rotary.
Totally. Now everything, you know, is what I'm so saying? Different.
I mean, cassette tapes were a new thing when I grew up.
Wow.
I mean, we got like cassette tape recorders. I sat there and did radio shows.
Wow.
On that. You know?
But you know, but I tell you what I find so interesting. A friend of mine, a really close friend of mine, Elizabeth, she lives in England. She's 86 now. And she's been through two world wars. I mean, speaking to her, God, she's just the most incredible woman I've ever met.
Yeah.
I mean, she has literally changed my life. But when I speak to her about things and how she's so brilliant on a computer.
Like, right.
She's got all these gadgets, and she's so good. She's on her. She's emailing from her phone. She's, you know, on the computer. She does. Sometimes I think she's more computer literate than I am.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, how are you doing this?
Yeah, yeah.
But she's just moved with the times.
Yeah.
You know? And somehow, and just to think about when she was born in 1930.
Wow. Before the big war, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like 1930, and she is managed. Now she's on computers. She's incredible.
Wow. So think about all the changes she's been through.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's,
you would say it was crazy too. It doesn't make sense, you know, but what can you do? I mean, I look at my parents, they kind of look blank every time I talk about Facebook or something like that, and you try to explain it to them, but, you know, they still, I mean, my mom has a phone. She has Facebook. I show it to her a million times. She doesn't catch on on how to do it by herself.
Yeah. I know. I mean, I will say one thing. Elizabeth has not quite got into the social media. She doesn't like that stuff.
Really?
She's like, no. And I try to get her to go onto WhatsApp. Right. Because then I can, you know, call her on WhatsApp free.
Right, right.
But she's like, no. She's not into WhatsApp.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, fine. I'll just call the usual way. So that's the only thing. But otherwise, she's really, really, you know, like up with the times.
Very amazing. How old is she now?
86.
Wow, you see?
Well, yeah. 87. No, she's 87 now. Because
yeah, so she must be like healthy and clear.
You know, she's been, she's amazing. Like she's very, very socially active. Like she taught me a lot about opera and about art, and she's just wonderful. And I think she's been really, really healthy up until a couple of years ago when she broke her legs.
Uh-huh.
And she stepped wrong and she fell off like a staircase. Mm. But she's so incredible, this woman. Like she'd actually broken her leg and she managed to walk to a cab, get into a cab, go home, sleep all night, and then wake up the next morning. And
wow.
She, I mean, incredible. But
wow.
Yeah. So I think, you know, from when she broke her leg, I mean, that wasn't a great time. And I think that's really hard for her because when you are so... when you are so active, to be inactive is just something that's not delightful. And I think her back is playing up and stuff. But I'm hoping that she's going to be absolutely fine because I certainly can't live without her.
Yeah, right?
That's a fact.
Wow. Very nice. Very nice to have someone like that.
Yeah, no, she's very, very, very special to me. And just special in general, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I see the way someone like her communicates with everyone. She just treats everyone like you know, they're the most important person in the world. I've learned so much from her.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. You're very fortunate to have someone like that in your life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and we're talking about later, excuse me, later in life. They're saying that male children with older fathers are more likely to be geeky. Now, geeky is...
Nerdy.
Okay, it's nerdy, but in a different way, though. It's an umbrella term for people who tend to be socially awkward and overly intellectual.
Okay. So where did this? Where's this article from?
What I'm saying is, 57% are saying that. Okay, they looked at twins. Okay, and found that being geeky was 57% inherited from the parents,
really?
Particularly in male children with older fathers. So, yeah, I mean, this is amazing. So, in other words, if I have a kid now, this is what I'm going to have, a friggin' kid. But it makes sense, though, because look what they're saying. They're saying that, you know, they're more likely to score higher on exams in STEM, which is science, technology. Also, they're saying that, I guess the fathers have had... All the fathers have had longer time to learn about life, to have more experience, to maybe pass on to the kids, you know, something like that.
Like wisdom. They probably
wisdom
have, you know,
and things like that, right.
To,
and maybe they're saying, maybe they're also less or more socially awkward, maybe at a later age, you know, I don't know.
I'm always really wary about these statistics, where they get the statistics from. But I think... there must be something about if a parent has, like you said, been around for longer.
Right.
You know, the way they're going to interact with their child is going to be different.
That's true,
you know,
right.
They're going to probably, you know, educate them on reading really great books.
Right, exactly. I still made my kids that smart when I wasn't an old dad. You know, I was 30 years old, but they turned out pretty geeky in that way. I mean, they know a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But they're not that socially awkward, and maybe they are. No.
Kids are amazing, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm always just so fascinated by, you know, these days, like a friend of mine's got a 6-year-old nephew, and he is just, some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth, it shocks me.
Mm.
You know, he's so educated, he loves to read, and he, you know, he's just so active and they're just so honest.
Yeah.
You know, I love that. I think that's what fascinates me the most. They're so present and they're so honest. They just say whatever they feel.
Right.
You know, he said to me the other day, he was like, can we just discuss your outfit, like your clothing, what I was wearing?
Really?
And I'm like, what do you mean? And he said, well, you've got a half a top on. You don't even have a whole top. You have a half a top. You've got holes in your jeans.
Yes.
And like he was just horrified by the way.
How
I was
old
looking.
Is he?
6.
Wow.
He was 6 years old. He was basically telling me, you need to dress better.
Whoa. They're so fucking smart. I mean,
aren't
these
they?
Kids, right?
And I couldn't even say anything because he was right. I'm like, I am wearing half a top. I am wearing holes in my jeans. Oh, and that's right. He was talking about the tattoo on my foot.
Mm.
He's like, you're not supposed to be marking your body or something.
Well, that's what they heard from the adults.
From the adults, yeah, you know, and he was schooling me on what to do. I just went, okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I wouldn't mind being an older dad. I would love that. So if anybody's interested or needs a kid, I'm available, folks. And on that note, Astra, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
The name like sounded familiar. It's obviously an unusual name. How did you get that name and what does it mean?
Well, actually, it's not Astra.
It's not?
It's Asta.
What the fuck? I've been... Are you shitting me?
No, I'm not shitting you.
Have I said Asta the whole time or
Astra?
You
said Astra the whole time.
The whole fucking time. You didn't connect me.
Well,
correct me once.
I was waiting for the right opportunity, but now, yes.
No. In the beginning, you had to do this. I mean, you had to tell me.
No, you said it and it was so fast that it just didn't come up again. So, yes, it's Asta, not okay. Astra.
Okay, so now, how can you be a bigger ass?
Exactly. But anyway, it's Asta. Asta is actually not my birth name, but my dad used to call me Asta all the time. Mm. And Asta means a star.
Another language or?
Well, apparently it's Nordic, but I don't know why my dad loved it so much, but he used to call me Asta.
Wow.
And then, yeah, it meant a star, maybe because,
how
know,
cool is
I
that?
I was always interested.
But it's an unusual name. You're probably easy to find because of it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, do you want people to find you, social media, anything?
Yeah, Asta Lee. L-E-I-G-H.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for joining me again,
Asta.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
I got to say Asta a million friggin' times. I can't believe this.
Asta. But yeah, Astra and Astra also, you know, also.
Yeah. No, I mean, I take full responsibility, but I do have to say, next time, don't be ashamed if someone mispronounces your name.
No, actually, I was going
to. And especially if I'm going to do it the whole fucking time. You made me.
But you only mentioned my name twice.
Really?
You mentioned my name once in the beginning, I think, and once in the end. So when it happened in the beginning, I wanted to correct you, but it just didn't kind of.
So I didn't say it a few times.
No, you didn't say it a few times. No.
Oh, thank God.
You didn't say it repeatedly. So
right. Okay. So just in the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
And because I remembered for some reason I had the Astra. I called you right when you came here the first time, right?
Yeah,
the whole
you
time.
Did. It was the first time you'd ever said Astra.
Right. So
anyway.
Fuck it anyway. We're totally out of time, folks. Asta,
thank you so much.
Okay, Asta Lee, everybody, check her out. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.